James, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Right. The focus remains on the situation between Israel and Iran. And I see that Israel is turning the Qatar-mediated Gaza ceasefire negotiations by attempting to shoot the messenger.
True, but maybe we should start with Iran because that's a breaking story. And what we have seen is reports of explosions in Isfahan. And Iranian, Israeli, and U.S. officials speaking to various media on background, not on the record, confirming that this was an Israeli attack on Iran. And that, if so, that indeed, you know, raises the risk of a serious escalation. The silver lining in this is that neither Iran nor Israel, nor the United States has officially said that this was an Israeli attack. And from what we're seeing in Iranian media, as well as what Iranian analysts who often are those that echo government views, is that this was not a major attack. With other words, they're downplaying it. And that is a good sign because that means that Iran may not feel that it needs to make good on its promise to respond to any Israeli attack harshly. In terms of Gaza, indeed, what you're seeing is that the Qatari prime minister has said that the negotiations for a ceasefire are stalled, that there is abuse of the negotiation process. And while he didn't point a finger at anyone, he was clearly pointing to the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as Netanyahu's backers in the U.S. Congress, who have taken Qatar to task for hosting Hamas, even though that was at the U.S. request and with the acquiescence of Israel. If Qatar were to decide to pull out or to reduce its role in its mediating role, then a possible alternative, maybe not the best of alternatives, but nonetheless a possible alternative would be Turkey. I think the important thing to note is that the Qatari prime minister made his remarks at a joint news conference with the Turkish foreign minister.
Now, Hamas is offering to disarm in return for a Palestinian state.
Indeed. So this is directly tied to what we were just discussing in terms of the Qatari and potential Turkish role in the ceasefire negotiations. The Turkish foreign minister, Hakan Fidan, was in Doha this week. And he met with senior Hamas officials, including Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas's political bureau. And according to Fidan, Haniyeh told him that that Hamas would be willing to dismantle its military wing if a Palestinian state were to be established. Now, that's clearly one designed to sweeten the pill of Hamas's demands, which it has been standing firm on, or conditions for a ceasefire. It's significant that Haniyeh is not leaving it at that. He's traveling this weekend to Turkey for talks with the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
Now, coming back to the situation with Iran, at the risk of sparking an all-out Middle East war, Israel and Iran are engaged now in a dangerous effort to establish a new level of mutual deterrence.
Indeed. So I think what the Israelis were trying to do when they attacked the Iranian consulate in Damascus on April 1 was to see how far they could push the envelope. Iran responded to that, first of all, by basically looking for an off-ramp, saying that it would not need to respond to the Israeli attack if the Security Council would condemn Israel's assault on the embassy. which the Security Council didn't do. But to be fair, the Security Council also did not condemn this month's Ecuadorian raid on the Mexican embassy in the Ecuadorian capital. And the Iranians said if there were a ceasefire, then also there would be no need for an Israeli response. Neither of those two things happened. And so Iran responded, as we know, with a barrage of Israeli missiles and, Iranian missiles and drones, but also said, this is it. As far as we're concerned, we've made our statement. This does not need to go further. Israel certainly feels that it has to respond, because otherwise it would be saying, I have been deterred. That's not something Israel says. However, if indeed what we saw today was an Israeli attack, and if indeed it was not minor, it was not major, caused no damage, then this could very well be a way for Israel and Iran to avoid this sliding down a slippery slope and this spinning into a all-out Middle East conflagration.
Now, in an indication of limited Chinese influence, Israel disqualifies a Chinese company bidding for management of the port of Haifa.
Indeed. So the United States has long pressured Israel, independent of Gaza or Iran, pressured Israel to be very cautious to the degree that it allows China to invest in critical infrastructure, or the degree to which it allows China to benefit from Israeli technological prowess. And that came to fruition this week when the Israelis disqualified a state-owned Chinese company from bidding for the management of the port of Haifa. And that tells you also how limited China's ability is to mediate in the various conflicts in the Middle East, and particularly in the Gaza conflict. It has zero influence today in Israel.
All right, James, as always, thank you for your time. We speak again next week.
It's always a pleasure. I look forward to that.
Listeners can look out at jamesmdorsey.net for the latest articles penned by James.